the beam and moaning. Now perhaps you'll be satisfied, Arnold said to Clara. He's probably got a splinter now. Well, if Albert hadn't lost his grip and fallen off, he'd be up there now. We'd moved the vaulting horse to break his fall, but ever since he's been walking around as though he's riding a three-legged pony, which makes it jolly awkward when he's helping out with the coffins. But the worst thing of all was later that night when Charlie and me were walking home, we saw Arnold hanging around outside his house as though he was frightened to go in. It seemed that Claire had locked him out, and Charlie, who can be really cruel when the mood takes him, called out, "What's the matter? Waiting for Tinkerbell?"
The pantomime was written by Alan Sadler and performed by Michael Williams. It was first heard in 1988. On weekdays at this time, we've a short story. Tomorrow is the first of three by Julia Blackburn about the relationships between adults and children drawn from real life. For the Love of a Child begins tomorrow at the same time here on 4 Extra.
The digital station for comedy, drama and entertainment. BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Now, welcome listeners just switching over from The Archers on Radio 4. It's the moment we've all been waiting for, the dramatic climax of this series of Ambridge Extra. And Matt and Lillian are in big trouble.
Just be careful, Lillian.
Shh. Hello.
Leonid, how are you? It's Lillian. Lillian Bellamy.
Yes?
I've been thinking. We never did go out for those cocktails you promised me.
And what does Matt think of that idea?
Matt? Oh, well, I may as well tell you. Soon after we last saw you... Well, very soon, actually, things went downhill between us.
Did they?
We went back to my room and he just picked a fight with me. I think that... Well, to be honest, I found out that he's seeing someone else. I'm so bored and lonely and I'd love some company. Leonid?
What about dinner? Tonight? Give you a shoulder to cry on.
Really? Oh, darling, that would be lovely.
We'll go somewhere nice. You get yourself ready. I'll pick you up in half an hour.
Lovely. I'll see you soon then.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
I'm going to get that phone back, Brenda.
No, don't.
The important thing is for Matt to know I'm on his side. He can rely on me.
Mr. Olivier.
Quite.
So, come on, Robin. It's been a good shoot so far, but isn't it time to get to the point? Why'd you ask me up here?
Well, I thought you might enjoy it. Simple as that.
Really? So nothing at all to do with my contract? The one you said was worthless?
Well, funnily enough, I did want to have a chat with you about that, yes.
I bet you did. I'm hoping you might have a bit of interest in it.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. You see, my lawyers say you made a mistake there. In fact, that you're involved.
Involved?
Tell me, what made you get into bed with these kind of people?
I'm sorry, what do you mean?
I would have thought with your background you'd have gone for something a bit more, a bit more conventional.
All of my business dealings are entirely above board.
All right, keep your hair on. I'm just saying that these guys are more... Well, more in my arena, don't you think?
Your arena?
Oh, come on, don't pretend you haven't looked me up. You know I've been in jail. And I won't pretend it was a good experience, but, I made some contacts, shall we say. Blokes who are useful if you're in a tight corner.
I see.
In fact, I had to ask a couple of them to do me a favour recently. Little domestic situation came up.
Is that why you don't have a business of your own? Is that why you help out with, what's it called, Lampside?
Oh, Robin. We both know it's useful to have a little company to put some cash through now and again, eh? It all helps to mix things up a bit, doesn't it?
Please, don't go.
Will you do me up, darling? Is it creased at the back?
No. How can you be so calm?
My mind is made up. Poor Matt is up in Scotland with that lying tow-rag Robin, and the only thing that I can do for him is to get that wretched phone back from Leonid. Matt and I made a great team once, Brenda, and I'll show him that we can again. Now, how do I look?
Well, how should I know? He's sounding pretty confident, Leonid.
Never mind him. Are you saying you've heard nothing? Nothing at all?
No.
The St. Pete brokers are very nervous. When there is a rumour like this one, share prices start to go up.
Are you sure?
I know what a hostile takeover looks like.
It's Crawford.
Crawford?
He just told me he uses his girlfriend's company to launder his own deals.
Did he? So that means the girlfriend knows everything. What's that bitch up to?
Thank you for coming down.
Hello, Tanya. How's Dima?
He is bad.
What do you mean?
Well, not eating, not sleeping.
Oh.
He's lost without you.
Did he ask you to come?
He loves you so much. He's so happy when he's with you. Please, Brenda, talk to him.
Are you here representing him as head of the family?
Brenda.
To fix it all, to sort it all out as usual. If he wants to talk to me, be honest with me. Why isn't he here himself?
Sorry about that.
Nervous business partner, was it?
What?
Well, either that or a woman at this time of night. By the look of you, I'm guessing it was business, am I right?
Let's talk about your business partner.
Vitaly Kedrov?
Lillian Bellamy.
What about her?
I believe the late Mr. Babarian had a smartphone with some useful information on it.
Did he?
But a little birdie tells me that the phone, which confirmed the validity of your contract, has gone missing. Rather devalues your bit of paper, don't you think?
Well, I'm not too sure what Babarin's phone might show, Robin, but I'm getting a copy of the forensic report on his murder shortly, which might help clear things up. Yeah, it was a bit expensive, true, but worth it, in my opinion. I'll keep you informed. Look, we've got an early start tomorrow, and I've had a bit to drink. In the morning, perhaps you could get to the point and make me an offer. And if it's good enough, I'll back away from the whole thing. Anyway, I'm off to bed.
You are a beautiful woman, Lillian.
Thank you.
Loyalty counts with me, but clearly not to Crawford. What a fool.
Wow.
I've got some emeralds in my safe. It would suit that dress you're wearing.
Good heavens. That must be quite a safe.
It contains everything of real importance to me.
Everything? Everything of importance? Surely that's impossible.
The bankers, the gold, the pictures, the strat. But the pretty things, the things that I like to lay my hands on, I keep at home.
I'd love to see your house, Leonid.
Why don't you come over tomorrow for lunch?
Listen to yourself. Don't you ever tire of it?
Of what?
Of never being honest with anyone. I don't know who either of you are anymore. Dima lied to me again and again.
Okay.
And actually, I don't want to know about the kind of world you live in. The kind of world that you think is normal.
I'm so sorry you feel this way. All I can tell you is that he really loves you.
Look, I've had an amazing time with him. It's been like a dream.
So?
Would you put up with it? Would you be happy if your partner trusted his sister more than you? He should have had more faith. I would have loved him anyway.
I'm telling you, Crawford threatened me with blackmail. He says he's got proof about Barbarian. He's as good as told me that it's him proceeding with a hostile takeover. He wants me to buy him off.
All right, all right. Listen, stay calm.
Stay calm.
We can sort this. I've got his girlfriend coming down tomorrow.
What? He what?
If I have to, I can play that card.
What do you mean?
What I say. But you've got to deal with him now.
Me? Why? Why have I got to do it?
We've been through this, Robin. I'm here.
No.
You are there.
No, no.
On the spot.
No.
You are perfectly placed.
Leonid,
do it tomorrow.
Leonid.
I won't be happy if you let me down. Now, good night.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Ready?
Absolutely.
We're better get in place. I'll see you after the first drive.
Yes.
I think the dog's missed one.
Yes. You brought it down somewhere over there, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. This air. Wonderful, isn't it? Always easier to think out here, don't you agree? Perfect place to make the right decision.
I'm glad you think so.
Should be here somewhere.
You need to go just a little further, I think.
Ah, here it is. Dead. Not injured, that's good. So come on, get a move on, Carol. The others will want to start.
Time to call it off, Matt.
Call off what?
The hostile takeover.
The what?
I want you to call off your hostile takeover of the St. Petersburg development. Now. Right now, in fact. Ring your broker, there's a good chap.
Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's dispense with all your usual nonsense and get on with it, shall we?
You're out of your tiny mind.
Listen. It's over. You've had a good run and God knows you nearly got the lot. I take my hat off to you, but you can't win, you see. At least, not today.
You shouldn't point guns at people.
Phone your broker, Crawford. Call it off.
Ah! That's my broker now.
All right, good.
Matt? Hi. Can you talk?
Yeah, I'm glad to hear from you.
Oh, thank God you picked up. Listen, your contract, it's not only valid, it adds up to 8% of the whole development. 8%. Don't let anyone take it from you. It's worth a fortune.
Right.
But listen, Leonid Kedrov and Robin Carroll are pursuing the rest of the land. They work together.
Ah.
They want all of it, Matt. They killed Barbarian for it. You've got to stay out of their way. Matt, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for that. Listen, I'd like you to halt the takeover. I've changed my mind.
Matt, what's happening?
Yeah, that's right. Complete withdrawal.
Are you in trouble? Is it Carol?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Stay calm and listen very closely.
That's fine.
Okay. I'll send the car to your hotel right now. It will take you to Inverness Airport, where a ticket will be waiting. Don't check out of your hotel and don't get your case. Just get in the car and drive away. Do you understand? Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. That's fine. So you'll sort that out for me.
Good luck.
Bye then.
Good.
I'm going to rejoin the shooting party now.
I hope to God you're telling the truth. Because Lillian Bellamy is arriving at Kedrov Surrey Mansion about now. If you're lying, do you hear me, Crawford? You'd better be telling the truth.
darling, how lovely to see you. Mwah. Mwah. Well, thank you for sending such a lovely
car. It's my pleasure.
Well, this is quite a place. Oh, are those your stables over there?
Let's go. Inverness Airport, quick as you like. I say quick as you like. Come on, Lillian. Lillian, thank God you picked up. Listen to me.
Matt, it's me. It's Brenda.
Brenda? What are you doing with Lillian's phone?
She left it here, at the hotel.
Well, where's she gone? What's she doing?
She wanted to help you, Matt. She wanted to get the Baron's phone back for you.
Oh, the phone? The wretched phone? Oh, my God.
What's going on?
She's got no idea how much danger she's in.
Yes, she does. I told her about the murder, about everything. I tried to stop her going, Matt, but she went anyway.
Oh.
For you. Matt? Are you there?
It's true, then. She's at Kedroff's place in Surrey. Listen, would Dimitri know where that is?
I suppose so. They know everything, those two. But I'm not sure we can trust them.
Listen to me, Brenda. I think they're all right. This is the second time Tatiana's got me out of big trouble.
No,
Brenda, please, listen. I've got to know Kedroff's address in Surrey. Will you ask him? Will you ask Dimitri?
Zanzibar, Zanzibar, my macho красавец.
He's quite remarkable.
$500,000 of racing poetry on four legs. Thank you, Billy.
Sir.
Are you ready?
For anything.
Приехала, встречай.
Brenda, крошка.
Hello, Dimitri. Tatiana?
Hello, Brenda. It's good to see you.
I've come for a reason. Lillian's in trouble.
What's happened?
She's gone to Kedroff's mansion in Surrey.
What?
Matt wants to go directly there to get her out. Do you know where it is? Will you phone him? Tell him. Please.
Все. Нужно все запускать. Сегодня. Сейчас. Немедленно.
I'm going to speak to Tanya in Russian now. Not because I want to hide anything from you, but because it's quicker. Is that okay? Brenda, is that okay?
Yes, that's okay.
Мы больше не можем ждать. Мы должны выпустить акции по предлагаемой цене, купить все сегодня. Ты сможешь это сделать?
Да, конечно, я попробую. Но этим дилетантам понадобится помощь. Ты должен ехать...
Oh, I say, darling, this is some room. Is the safe behind here?
Safe?
The one you told me about yesterday evening, darling, with all your lovely emeralds in it.
Behind the painting? The most obvious place? As a matter of fact, it is. I've got excellent security.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Since you remember so well, I think you should try something on. Let me just...
There are so many boxes.
Why don't we save the amethysts and start with the emeralds?
Leonid. Oh, my word.
Come over here, by the mirror. You can try it on.
I've never seen anything like it.
Lift your hair. There.
It's so heavy. But do you think green is really my colour, darling? Did you say you had some amethysts in here, too?
Looking for something in particular, Lillian? Could it be this? I think it's time to bring Matt into this, don't you?
Matt?
You can give up pretending. Give him a call. Catch! Go on!
Nikolai Babarin? What the... Who is this?
Matt, it's me.
Lillian!
I'm at Leonid Kedrov's mansion. He'd like you to come over as soon as you can. Will you do that, Matt? Will you come? Please?
You hang in there, Pushcat. I'm coming to get you. Lillian. Lillian? Huh? Here we go.
Matt, wait!
Dimitri! Am I glad to see you?
I thought it might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Oh, Matt!
Lillian!
Dmitry Dubrovin!
Dima!
I've had the great pleasure of entertaining Lillian today, Matt. As you see, she admires fine emeralds.
I'd like to take them off now.
Very well.
Oh, it's a relief.
I can imagine.
We've been out riding. Lillian is a bold rider.
There's no one braver. You recognise this?
Matt, I don't think...
It's the contract that proves my ownership of a piece of land. Your son Vitali brokered it for me all that time ago in St. Petersburg. Your son Vitali and Nikolai Babarin. Oh, don't worry. It's the original.
I can see that.
I learned today that this piece of paper is worth a great deal of money. God alone knows how much. So I finally understand why you wanted to deceive me and destroy this. But I'll save you the trouble. I don't want it anymore.
What are you doing?
You see, I prefer simple pleasures, Leonid. A country walk on a summer evening, a meal with friends, and living in peace with the woman you love. So you win, Leonid. If anything puts me or mine at risk from people like you, I don't want it. I give it up. See? I've made it easy for you. All you have to do is leave us alone. Come on, Pushka. It's time to go home.
Oh, Matt.
What a pair you make. That might work with some people, but not me.
What are you talking about?
What about the rest of the development? The small matter of the other 92%?
I don't know anything about that. That's nothing to do with me.
Don't lie to me.
He's not lying, Kedrov. It's not Matt. It's me.
What?
My sister is completing the share purchases now.
Tell me, Dmitry Dubrovin, why should I tolerate that?
My sister secretly downloaded the contents of Babarin's phone some time ago. I'm sorry, Matt, we didn't tell you. It proves you and Carol had Babarin murdered. The information is in my lawyer's safe with instructions to prosecute if any accident should happen to any of us. It's over, Leonid.
Suck it! Suck it! Badly!
Come on!
Stop it!
Let's move!
Shut up!
Come on, come on! You don't have much time!
Yeah, I can't get it open!
Oh, get out the way, Matt! Let me!
Zavadi! Zavadi! Drive! Drive, drive, drive!
It's over now. It's over at last.
I'll build that factory, Brenda. But the people who live there will get a fair deal from me. I told you, it's why I wanted to get involved in the first place.
And you thought I'd tell someone, didn't you? Mess up your deal.
Yes, I thought you might. Accidentally. But my most important concern was for your safety. When you don't know anything, you're in less danger. I just wanted to keep you safe. You're not coming back to Russia with me, are you?
No, I'm not. I just can't do it, Dima. Your world, your life, it's too much for me.
I only got involved at all because I knew I would lose you if Matt got hurt. But now, I've lost you anyway.
Here, little crumb. Look at me. Everything, every moment with you has been so wonderful, Dmitri. I'm going to treasure those moments in my heart.
Oh, Brenda.
And I'll never forget you. I will treasure them until I am a grey, grey old lady.
You'll never grow old for me. For me, you'll always be as you are now. Look in the bedside drawer.
What's this? Oh!
It's the diamond you found back home. Do you remember? I'd hidden it in the kitchen. I bought it for you the day we met. The day we went to the Hermitage. I knew then what I felt for you.
Oh, Dima.
Now it's your keepsake of our time together. Solnice mayo.
That's the best way to wake up.
Did you sleep well, darling?
Ah, best night's sleep I've had since, a very long time.
Matt. I want to say thank you. I know what you did.
No, don't.
No, please. Let me say my piece. Thank you for choosing me. You chose me above everything you've ever wanted. In spite of... well, in spite of Paul. And I'm not sure I deserve it. You were magnificent. I'll never forget it.
Oh. When I was in that car, driving to Leonid's, I came to my senses. You were in the most terrible, terrible danger. I was so scared, Lillian. Scared that I could really lose you. See, I knew then that whatever had happened between us...
Oh, Matt, I'm so sorry.
Shh. I knew then it was all past. Didn't matter. You'd put yourself in awful danger for me. And when I walked into that ugly room and saw you there so beautiful, well... I don't know anyone as brave as you.
Come here, Tiger.
So it's back to the Archers for Matt and Lillian, as that's the end of this series of Ambridge Extra. It was written by Tim Stimson and Sarah Bradshaw, produced and directed in Birmingham by Julie Beckett, and the editor was Vanessa Whitburn. And if you've come late to the party and you'd like to hear the whole of this series of Ambridge Extra from the top, you can do so tonight for 5 hours from 1 a.m. That'll put your night in for you. Or if you're planning to get some sleep tonight, you'll find all the omnibuses, Omnibi, Omniborum, Omnipedia, that's it. You'll find them all on the BBC iPlayer later on Monday. Now, on Friday, we have the 4 Extra debut of the final radio play written by the British dramatist Peter Tinniswood, whose work we so often feature here on 4 Extra. It follows the encounters of two people whose lives are spent visiting dying patients in hospital, and where thoughts about mortality, loss and the frailty of love are never far from their minds.
50 years a visitor. Full-time, non-stop. No social life. No time to find myself a woman. A woman to love and cherish. A woman to cosset me. A woman to give me comfort. No. All I've had are bits of fluff and patience. All those patience... dying, passing away, passing clouds.
Roy Hudd and Emma Fielding star in Visitors, new to 4Extra, on Friday morning at 11:15 and again in the evening at 9:15.
The BBC Radio New Comedy Award has begun.
Yes, you wish you'd thought of it first, don't you?
You know that.
And the lineup for the semi-finals is taking shape.
You will find out the winner of this heat tonight.
Listen again to all the highlights and results from our first heat, direct from Edinburgh.
Glasgow's always been my favourite city in the whole world, but the second I arrived here, tonight, in Edinburgh, all that changed immediately. Now it's Reykjavik.
2013 BBC Radio New Comedy Award here on Radio 4 Extra.
You should all try it.
Catch up with Heat 1 online now at the BBC Radio 4 Extra website.
I don't know about you, Lynn Sessman, but I'm quite exhausted.
And you can also hear the second heat of the BBC Radio New Comedy Award in the Comedy Club this Friday night at 10:30.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra.
So, after all that excitement in Ambridge, let's calm ourselves down with a little bit of politics and economics, in fact, and a programme that was first broadcast in 2001, in which we discover why the economic historian Carl Polanyi proved to be such a great inspiration for Baroness Shirley Williams.
Mrs. Shirley Williams.
SDP, a Liberal Alliance.
28,000.
A cheer from supporters.
In 1983, Shirley Williams became the first elected Social Democratic MP, overturning a 19,000 Tory majority in Crosby.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have seen the largest movement of votes that has ever taken place in any by-election in the British Isles. This is indeed a remarkable result.
She was one of the most popular politicians of her generation, less frightening than current heroines like Anne Widdecombe, more focused than Mo Mollem. The SDP, which she co-founded as one of the Gang of Four, was the final flowering of a political career which had begun 30 years earlier. In 1951, Shirley Williams went from Oxford University to Columbia as a Fulbright scholar. In the heightened atmosphere of McCarthyite America, where discussion of Marxism was a career-blighting activity, the smart young economics student was introduced to the work of one of Columbia's professors, Carl Polanyi, and in particular to a book he'd written 5 years earlier, The Great Transformation.
He was a very dynamic man. He ploughed his own furrow. In fact, what's interesting is that one can't easily classify him. He's not a clear neoliberal. He's certainly not a communist. He can't be easily put in one of the usual ideological pigeonholes.
How did he inspire you? Did he have a vision that you thought was worth aspiring to?
Well, first of all, he writes passionately. The book is written in rather polemical terms for what is supposed to be some kind of academic work. He clearly felt he had a mission to get his words across. Secondly, he said something which, you know how suddenly something lights up your mind. It isn't necessarily that everything in it is right, and I couldn't possibly say about Polanyi everything in it was right, but it turned on a light in my mind. I suddenly began to see what he was saying about the division of society into its political part and its economic part and the dangers of this and the need to try to bring them together.
Although Shirley Williams was nominally an economics student, she was much more interested in politics. Polanyi wrote The Great Transformation soon after he arrived in America from Britain. It's a prescription for political development based on an analysis of Britain's Industrial Revolution. He argued that unrestrained market forces destroyed the support systems of pre-industrial society. To succeed, modern societies had to reinvent them.
I think now we'd probably say of Polanyi that he was a communitarian. He disputed the argument that man is, and woman, is economic man, economic woman, that our overwhelming motivation and reasons for building society come from economic motivation. I think he was right in saying that that was much too narrow a definition of human beings. But it was, of course, the definition that came out of classical economics, that what people were labour, or entrepreneurs, or sources of capital, they were always defined in economic terms. And that's something from which we still haven't really got away. What Polanyi saw was the way in which the raw market, changing men into commodities, changing land into a commodity, simply reduced everything to what we nowadays call commodification. In other words, you and I are not people beyond our value to the economy.
Do you think Polanyi was actually interested in ethical aspects of society? I mean, was that his motivation, or was he just describing what he saw?
I don't think either, really. I think he was interested in the concept that one should have social as well as economic ends. Social not necessarily meaning the same as ethical. In the book, he goes back quite a lot to primitive societies, talks about the Melanesians and so on, talks about societies, tribal societies, where, you know, in the good times you share out the good things and in the bad times you share the hardship. That isn't necessarily ethical, but it's a very